This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
A recent Bryant University study pegged the Quonset Business Park to be a major contributor to the Rhode Island economy. And to discuss that, our guest is Mr. Stephen King, the managing director of the Quonset Development Corporation, the QDC. Thanks for coming back.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me.
So some good numbers, according to that Bryant University study.
Yeah, so the study reports, as we know today, there are nearly 11,000 direct jobs at Quonset, which equates to 21,102 full-time equivalent jobs. Indirect included in that number, that represents one out of every 23 jobs in our state. And Quonset adds $2.85 billion to Rhode Island's economy, which is just over 5% of the state's GDP. And all the jobs there generate $1.26 billion in labor income for families in our state. And Quonset generates $113.1 million in tax revenues for local and state government. And 53% of the jobs at Quonset are in manufacturing, which is a very exciting piece of it for us.
And I noted in that report that the manufacturing jobs at the QDC tend to pay higher wages.
That's exactly right. So on average, the workers at Quonset receive wages that are 8.3% higher than the state average. The Quonset average is $56,524.
There's still room to for more tenants and for existing tenants to expand, right? Sort of what's the percentage?
That's right. So we have just over 300 acres of land remaining at the business park to develop. That represents about 20% of the developable property. It only represents about 9% of the total property when you look at the entire park.
And do you know what those jobs are going to be? Are there plans for some of it and not plans for others? Or
so all of our sites, as you might remember, are pre-certified and site ready to go, so companies can come to Quonset and build in 90 days. All comers are welcome, whether that be heavy manufacturing or logistics or warehousing and distribution, what have you.
You go from, you know, Electric Boat, which makes submarines, to Adesia, which makes food supplements, to Green Core, which yep. makes prepared foods, Toray, which makes, well, potato chip wrappers. Come on now. Not exactly the healthy stuff.
But biodegradable ones.
Yes, so. Yes. Yeah. And then you have the Ocean State Job Lot, right, which is expanding its distribution center there.
They've broken ground, and they're building over 460,000 square feet of new distribution space to add on to the over 700,000 they already have. So,
with the proposed expansion or the possible expansions, other companies coming in, what does that do with the outer infrastructure of the QDC? Do you have to build new highways, or can you handle the existing upload?
It's a great question. So we've done a lot of that work in advance of the development. In the last decade, spent a lot of time reorganizing the streets within the park and utilities networks and the like. So we think we're in very solid shape on that.
Now, there's a bond coming on this election, right, that will help essentially not develop, but actually update one of the piers that is heavily used, right?
Exactly. So down at the Port of Davisville, that question will bring ultimately $50 million to Quonset to help us with a $90 million project, which would reinvigorate and reconstruct Davisville Pier 2. So Davisville Pier 1 and 2 represent the heart of the port. It's important that infrastructure be renewed. The pier that we're speaking of is almost 60 years old now. It was designed the last 50 years when the Navy constructed it, so it's time to reinvigorate that.
Does the reinvigoration, will that change the capacity, at the pier, or is it just making sure that it's up to date?
It will increase it a little bit. So part of our plan is to expand one face of the pier to accommodate the car ships, which will allow us to do the construction without impacting the business activity. The leave behind benefit of that will be an extra berth at the port that we can use on a day-to-day basis going forward.
How does the expansion of the Panama Canal affect the port operations there?
Right. So we had the first railroad ship to cross the Panama Canal came to Quonset a couple months ago, the Iris Leader that the NYK line has in service. It was the first auto carrier of its size to come to Rhode Island. So that, obviously for them, consolidates the amount of cargo they could bring on a ship, and that allows better efficiency and more activity at the port going forward.
Do you expect more cargo because of the change in the Panama Canal that are not cars?
I think going forward, there may be opportunities for short sea shipping and the like as we look at the future. A lot of the cargoized, containerized traffic that comes into the United States lands a lot of it on the West Coast. The opening of the canal will compete with the railroads to get better efficiency to the East Coast. Ultimately, give us an opportunity to pick up some of that cargo and move it port to port here in the East Coast.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Stephen King, the managing director of the Quonset Development Corporation. Getting back to the pier situation and the apparent need to upgrade the piers, if the bond issue goes through, if you do an upgrade, how will that affect the channels and the water side of things? Perhaps more dredging needed?
A little bit, David. So we dredged the port back in 2012. We did not dredge the east face of Pier 2, so there's a small area that would have to be dredged to activate the berth I just spoke about extending the pier to accommodate. So it would be a little dredging involved in that project. But predominantly, the work is all related to the structure itself and the pier out of the water.
We were speaking before about digital technology and office buildings and manufacturing buildings, and perhaps the digital tech allows for a smaller operation with the same output or even greater. How does that possibly affect the QDC, the business park, in relation to established companies there? Might they be able to have a smaller footprint?
Yeah, so most of our companies, as I mentioned, almost half the workers at Quonset are involved in manufacturing. A lot of that heavy manufacturing takes a lot of space. Some of the submarines, for example, are very large. I don't see that playing a huge role in reducing their footprints, but obviously those businesses that rely on office space as things become more technology-driven certainly could be more efficient and create some more density in the park in the future, absolutely.
Could you expand on that office space idea?
Yeah. So we've built several small office buildings at the business park to accommodate small tenants. So if anyone listening wants to get out of their basement, come start a business and rent a room, for example, that's in a managed office space with central reception and phones and furniture and the like, that's there and available to them. We've built two buildings that we've fully leased out, and now we're building a third building, so there will be some space available here shortly.
So that's totally different than the sprawling manufacturing plants we think of as being at Quonset.
It is, and it's our attempt to be able to get some incubator space, if you would, so small business has a place to anchor themselves and hopefully grow out of that, grow into something bigger in the future, absolutely.
In the next 5 years, where do you think the Quonset Business Park will be?
Yeah, so we have a projection that by 2030 we'll be completely built out at the park with over 16,500 jobs in the business park. In the last 10 years, we've absorbed about 32 acres of property per year. We've seen over 200,000 square feet of buildings built every year on average, an investment by the private sector of up to $47 million a year, and job growth close to 300 jobs a year. So those charts are actually pretty linear. So if that holds true into the future, we'll be in very good pace to complete the development by that time.
Okay. Stephen King, managing director at the Quonset Development Corporation, has been our guest on This Bottom Line. Stephen, thanks for coming back.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
As always, thanks to Mark Murphy.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.